Now, let us turn to Exodus chapter 31, and we shall keep before us two verses from that chapter. First of all, in verse 13, we read, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. A sign between me and you. Again in verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. Now, sign, of course, spoken of is the Sabbath, and the perpetual covenant that is spoken of is, we might say, the relationship between God and his people, especially as it is shown in the Sabbath. Now, this sermon was prompted by a conversation which I had with somebody on the phone. It's a friend who was a little bit anxious to speak about Sabbath keeping as such an important thing. But when we got further into the conversation, we began to discuss the question of things like sport and entertainment on the Sabbath day. And his reaction to that was, well, sport is not work. And it is work that we are forbidden to do. And I think that indicates, sadly, the spirit which is often held in people's hearts and minds about the Sabbath day. It is a spirit which shows resistance rather than a desire to obey. Resisting by saying, oh well, the Sabbath day is a day which we would find as long as we don't do actually any work. Like many people, he passed over the first part of the fourth commandment. The first part of the fourth commandment is not, in it thou shalt not do any work. First part is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And people just jump over that. They just leapfrog over it and jump to, well, this is the day that we're forbidden to do any work. And that's it. That's all the Sabbath keeping they know, and all the Sabbath keeping they want to know. They are quite happy with that. But it is not the right spirit. It is not pay attention to the first thing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as we were going through this conversation, as I was pointing out to him about this, keeping the Sabbath holy, I said to him, you know, that if you read in the book of Isaiah and chapter 58, let's just have a wee look at that, these very, very important verses. Isaiah and chapter 58, and we're looking at the last two verses. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shalt honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Notice the words. Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own, doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and further down, not finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. Now, these words expound to us something of how the Sabbath should be kept, and the spirit in which it should be kept. And as I was speaking to my friend on the phone, it became very clear that these things were not in his reckoning at all on the Sabbath day. And the problem really, basically, that he had was that he looked on the Sabbath day from the point of view of restrictions. It is not a case of we shall enjoy the Sabbath day that God has given to us, but it's a case very much of, well, how much can we do? How far can we go in order that we can do our own things and still keep the Sabbath day? Now, it is something which perhaps we don't pay attention to often enough. The fact that the Sabbath law is a sign between God and his people. A sign, indeed, it calls it a perpetual covenant. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure and all these things, notice, the emphasis is not doing what pleases yourself, but seeking to do what pleases God. Turning away thy feet from the Sabbath. Now, my friend was taken by surprise. He was taken aback at that phrase. He just didn't know what to say to it. But it is there in the scriptures, and it is plain, and it is clear in what it is saying. Our aim tonight is to grasp something of the spirit in which the Sabbath was given, in order that we might make the big move. And it is a big move. From looking on the Sabbath as a day of restrictions, and moving on to looking on the Sabbath as something to be enjoyed. That's a great question for us. Do we enjoy the Sabbath day? Do we enjoy it for more than just the fact that we do not work or we do not have to work on the Sabbath day? Is it something which we look to in order that we might enjoy it? And I have no doubt that many Christians today suffer spiritual loss from their misunderstanding of the Sabbath law and its exposition in the Scriptures. Now, first of all, the Sabbath was instituted before the fall of man. Now, I wonder if you've ever thought about that. The Sabbath was not given after sin had come into the world and God then gave the law, which should include the Sabbath law. But the Sabbath was given while man was still in the Garden of Eden and living in righteousness and fellowship with God. And it was incorporated into the Ten Commandments, but it predates the Ten Commandments. It predates them to the time when there was no sin in the world, before the fall of man. Now that's a tremendously important thing. And I hope that when you realize that, if you're realizing it for the first time, that you must, that you say to yourself, well, that must be very important. Anything that was given before the fall is of great importance. Well, three things were given to man before the fall. Three ordinances, we might say. The ordinance of labor and the ordinance of the marriage and the ordinance of the Sabbath. These three were given to man before the fall of man. And surely that must give them a huge amount of weight and make us realize how massively important these things are. So, when we will be with Christ in endless enjoyment, what will we be enjoying? We will be enjoying an eternal Sabbath. Because the Sabbath predates the fall and it goes forward, not just for the life of this world, but into eternity. Because the Sabbath is a pattern for us of what heaven itself is. It is to us like a foreshadowing of our eternal rest, the eternal rest of the Christian. It is indeed an eternal Sabbath which we will enjoy in heaven. A Sabbath, a continuing Sabbath of full and complete and unsullied, untainted enjoyment for the rest, for all eternity. Enjoying Christ enjoying God and enjoying all the pleasures of an eternal Sabbath. So the key to enjoying the Sabbath is to see it as a foretaste of heaven. We have to try and reposition ourselves and our thinking so that we look on the Sabbath as a foretaste of heaven. And it's wonderful to be a Christian and to be able to look forward every Lord's Day and say, well, this is just a foretaste of what I will enjoy in heaven. And secondly, the Sabbath was a gift from God. A gift from God to his people. And we read about that in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. And we should have a look at that too, because these texts are very important. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths. Notice the word gave. I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord. There we have again this whole idea of the Sabbath as a gift. It is essential to our enjoyment of the Sabbath to see it and to enjoy it as a gift from God. It doesn't say, I imposed my Sabbath upon them. It doesn't just say, well, I firmly laid it down, this is the way. It is a gift. The Lord has given us a Sabbath as a gift. I gave the Sabbath. How man has twisted and perverted this. Twisted it and perverted it to make the Sabbath an oppression, to make it a burden and a yoke that is upon us, restricting us from doing the things that we want to do. It is tragic when man looks on the Sabbath in that way, as a restriction, and loses sight of the fact that the Sabbath is a gift from God. He has given it to us as a gift. Now, making the Sabbath an oppression and a restriction. A number of years ago, we were in Jerusalem for a short time. And Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, begins at sunset on Friday, goes through to sunset on Saturday. And during the early part of Saturday, the place is just so quiet. Hardly anything moves at all. But then there must be a certain time that they are told, at this particular time, the Sabbath comes to an end. And it is quite incredible what happens. All of a sudden, just in a moment, it all changes. The quietness goes and the streets are filled with people. People pouring out of their homes and pouring into the streets, pouring into all the restaurants and all the places of entertainment. They are like as if they were just released from a cage. Because they see the Sabbath as a restriction and an oppression. It was as if they had been freed from a prison. And this is what our question should be then. What is the most that we can do to obey the Sabbath? How much can we keep this day holy? How much can we make this day a day which is to be enjoyed? How much can we get away from the idea of how much are we allowed to do? How many rules are there? What are the rules? Where can we just go very close to the rules or even go beyond them? We have to get away from that. That is perverting and ruining all our view of the Sabbath day. The question should be, how much can I do in order to please God on this Sabbath day? How can I enjoy God and enjoy His Sabbath on the Sabbath day? This is God's gift to me. God has given me this gift. He has given me the Sabbath, and He has given it to me for my greater happiness and for my greater enjoyment. Because the Sabbath is to be a delight. As we read in the Isaiah passage, calling a Sabbath a delight. A delight rather than a restriction, rather than a day that was surrounded with all kinds of rules. So the Sabbath was instituted before the fall, and the Sabbath is secondly a gift from God. A gift to His people, a gift to the church on earth. And thirdly, I want us to see how the Sabbath is a covenant sign between God and His people. We read in the Ezekiel passage about the Sabbath being a perpetual covenant. And in verse 16 of the chapter we're at, Exodus chapter 31 verse 16, we have the same word again, the same phrase, a perpetual covenant. God has given us the Sabbath as a perpetual covenant. Now, what is a covenant? Well, a covenant is explained tends to be far more complicated than it needs to be. To put it in its simplest way, a covenant between two parties is a bond of friendship. That is what a covenant sign is, a sign of a bond of friendship. bond of friendship, not one that is put in place by us, but put in place by God. That is why it can be, and it is, a perpetual covenant. Because nothing that man does can just last and last and last. But this is put in place by God, and it is to be to the church a perpetual sign of the covenant between themselves and God. So, God put this covenant in place as an act of kindness, as a gift, as an amazing act of grace towards man, giving it to us as a gift and then giving it to us as a sign of the covenant between us and God. How wonderful it is to look on the Sabbath as a sign between ourselves and God, a sign of a bond of friendship between ourselves and God. He gave it to us as a perpetual covenant. God favoring his people in an absolutely astonishing way in giving them this great gift and this sign of special relationship between us and God himself. Human bonds of friendship have their signs. Engagements, wedding, and engagement rings and wedding rings and things like that. They are signs of a bond of friendship between two people. And they are, in their own sense, they are covenants. But here is a bond of friendship from God himself. He has given us the Sabbath as a sign of the friendship between ourselves and himself. It means, it is a means by which we are helped to remember God's grace towards man, God's benevolence towards man. And fourthly, this bond is indissoluble. It is called here a perpetual covenant. It is a covenant which thrives on mutual love. And it continues. Because it is a covenant put in place by God, it will always be there. It will always be a sign between God and his people of a special relationship between them. It is indissoluble, it is unchangeable, because the God who put it in place is also unchangeable. So finally, just a simple word. Let us enter into a full appreciation and enjoyment of the Sabbath in preparation for our enjoyment of heaven. Are you able to look forward to heaven? Confidence and assurance. But that is where you're going to be. Well, here God gives you a sign. A sign of that rest, that glorious rest of heaven, if that's where you are bound for. And it is here in order to prepare us for the enjoyment of heaven. And we have to just seek to truly enjoy the Sabbath, keeping these few things in mind. This is a gift from God. This is a sign of the friendship between us and God, if we are His. And it is given to us in order that we might enjoy it, and enjoy it as a preparation for our enjoyment of heaven. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that Thou would watch over us now, and that Thou would keep us, and that Thou would, Lord, if necessary, that Thou would change the way we relate to the Sabbath day. Oh, Lord, forbid that we would look upon it as a day of restrictions, but a day to be enjoyed. The Sabbath, the gift of the Lord our God. Be with us now and keep us and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, Amen.